Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, we've rolled around to another Friday, haven't we? These things just keep piling one on top of the other. Great to be here. We had a great. Hey, Spence, do this real quickly, brother. Go to pull up my Facebook page. Todd and Leslie Barmer in town. Their daughter, Lexi, of course, works for Mark Harrington at Created Equal. Hey, folks, listen. When I start telling some of these stories, please understand this. Some of these folks in the show here have been with us for 5 years. And so we really are like a family, and that we know extended family members and all that. So if you say Todd who? Well, Todd's one of our family members from he and his wife Leslie from Houston, and they're in town to visit their daughter Lexi, who works for Mark Harrington at Creative Equal. That's a long story as well. So they were in town last night. We went out to eat, and I got up on the screen here. This is a restaurant that we went to last night called Blystone, B-L-Y-S-T. There you see down at the bottom, Blystone Family Restaurant. And actually, it's kind of they raise their own cattle. It's a farm. It's more than just a restaurant, but it is a very, very nice restaurant. But this is the sign you see when you pull in. There's a big sign on the gate as you enter. And then when you get up there, there's a big sign at the door that says, look at this, warning to all our valued customers. If you do not want to engage with unmasked staff, please do not enter our building. You may call yada, yada, yada to order curbside pickup. Thank you so much for your patronage of our farm. Sincerely, the Blystone family. Now, how simple is that? How simple is that? And this guy here, Joe Blystone, the guy who runs the place, he is now a serious candidate for governor here in the state of Ohio. Now, a serious candidate, meaning he's actually running. And we all know that anytime you try to politically get involved, that they're the forces behind the curtain that want to control who doesn't get elected. But we were there last night. That picture of Leslie and Todd and Michelle and I went to the Blystone. We're hoping to be able to meet Joe last night, but he's out about doing whatever. So this might be something that you guys can share with others. I got quite a bit of response on Facebook when I posted it. Most people hadn't thought of this. Wow, that is pro-choice, huh? Wow, you don't have to come in here. Wow. And so really what this is a disclaimer, isn't it? Basically saying, hey, don't blame us if you get sick, but come on in, because we don't worry about getting sick. So praise the Lord on that. We had a great time. Had a great time with Todd and Leslie last night. And continue to pray for Todd. As you know, guys, he's been doing leukemia treatments for almost 2 years. Unbelievable. What an attitude they both have. Hey, man, listen, going to Pennsylvania this weekend, and I'm pumped up. A lot of times we do these cues on the road, these huddles on the road. Bobby Lee, God bless Bobby Lee, because, man, he is a tireless worker at trying to get our huddles up and running. And Bobby thinks they have maybe 100 people that are coming to Pennsylvania. They're coming from a lot of different directions, and Bobby's done a lot of legwork on it. And I just want to acknowledge him and invite anybody else that's within. Hey, folks, if you're within a couple hours, if you're within 3 hours, come and just. I'm just telling you, you'll be blessed beyond what you know. You get to meet these people face to face. Great encouragement, great ideas. We got great speakers. David Arthur's going to come and speak now. I run down through the list. John Diamond's going to speak. But it's more than the speaking. It's the fellowship and getting to know fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I encourage you try to make that. Bob, also, if you go quickly, Spencer, if you would go to our video page if you can. Bobby has now completed all of the videos from Mike Spalding's conference last week. They are now all posted on the Warrior Summit. They're all posted there, all free for you to go look at. And there's some really, really good stuff there. So if you just, you know, you're sitting around doing some housework, you're driving down the road, put your earbuds in and listen, and you'll really, really enjoy it. And Bobby, I really appreciate, man, all that hard work. Number three, and then we're going to move on here. It's a Flea Flicker Friday. We finally got a location for the Russ Dizdar event. We've pinned one down. In fact, we have a backup. So I got sometime when we get together over a Coca-Cola, I'll tell you some stories of some things we learned about this battle. Wouldn't all of us think that Russ Dizdar and Tom Dunn want to come and teach the church about demonic influence, demonic oppression, demonic possession, teach the children, teach the parents how the children get impacted by it, how the children get hooked on demonic oppression and demonic influence? Wouldn't you think that churches in particular would be standing in line to open the doors to allow their people to hear this? It got to the point where I started looking for American Legion buildings to hold it in. Garages, Jeff. I was looking for any place to be able to hold an event to edify and build up the body of Christ. It's unbelievable. And as we've discussed many times, does the church actually really believe in the supernatural? Do we really believe in the devil? Do we really, really believe that people are being oppressed? Do we really believe? See, like, I don't even think the church is one of the points I made yesterday. I don't even think the churches understand child trafficking and the demonic influences behind child trafficking. The church has no concept of it. And we want to be able to bring in, dare I say it, one of the world's renowned experts on demonology and what's going on and how to recognize it, how to fight back from it, and how to get free from it. You would think that churches would be standing in line. You'd think they'd be calling me, Coach, could you host it? It just isn't. It kind of shows us the times that we're in. Now, I want to extend a little bit of mercy and a little bit of grace, because 10 years ago, if you'd have brought it to me, I'd have thought you were nuts. Anybody give me a thumbs up on that? 10 years ago, you'd have thought it was nuts. But now I know it's not nuts. Are none of the churches awake to it? I mean, really? So anyway, we're excited. We got us a good place, and we're going to have it all written up, and we'll announce it. We'll announce it on Monday. We'll expect a crowd of, man, probably 300 people, and some streaming online, and it's going to be a great, great event. Let me back up, because you guys that listen regularly know I don't do this very often. We have some people who are trying to make the journey to Pennsylvania this weekend for the event, and it's a financial burden for them. Some of them have to hotels. Travel, just some people just don't have the money to do it. So if you could throw $10 in at coachdavelive.com to help cover those expenses, because we've told them, you come no matter what, you come and get the blessings of the Lord, and we'll pick it up any way that we can. So if you can't make it, there's some folks out there who sure could use a little bit of help. So if you would make an offering there today, we'll make sure that their expenses get covered. They have to night in a hotel, and we're trying to do the best we can with food, but we're not covering every meal. Folks, it's a free event. You understand? We're having a free event, but still there's a financial burden for some people to get there. And as I said, you guys know I don't talk about that whole time. So it's a Flea Flicker Friday. I got some good stuff I want to get to, but I see right now Alan wants to get in, and Ohio Brett wants to get in, and Kevin once again. So, Alan, you're first guy up, bud.
Hey, Coach, I just want to let you know our church is open, man. We only hold about 125 people, but we cast out devils in our church, you know, pretty regular. So, we would be open to that. Okay. We don't have all the issues all these other churches got, and we don't have a big, huge capacity, but our doors are open, man.
Okay, I appreciate it, Alan. Good to know. Come on in, Ohio Brett.
Hey, Coach, you know, God bless you, everybody, and team. Good morning. Another day for us to trust and obey and let His will be done in our lives. Amen. But, Coach, as your strong safety on this blitz, I'm winding down these 21 days, 21 counties. What a journey it's been. But I had a chance to meet Todd and his beautiful wife. They were in from Houston, right? yes. out at that conference. And right now, I have the blessing of being at Gary Pierce's house and his beautiful wife last night. They hosted me here. What wow. great fellowship. They are such special, special people, as are so many on this journey. And last Friday, I took the Blitz to Blystone Farms. And yes, Joe met with me for an hour. He knows about CoachDaveLive.com. He was, Brett, I get it. You're a strong safety. I'll plug in. I get stand down. It's okay.
That's
but
right, man.
I needed this, Coach. I shared with you this in private. I was missing something. I was on fire for the Lord, but I didn't have the coaching. I didn't have the team. And that's your format, Coach. So I want to encourage everybody on this call right now, if your ears are working, you got to share this. You share this. This is my small group church. This is my church. So share CoachDaveLive.com with everybody. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brad, man. Love you. Love your energy. And folks, for those of you who don't know what a strong safety, when you play football, you have basically four defensive backs. And those are the little skinny guys that can run fast and cover the passes. But a strong safety, he's kind of like a defensive back and a linebacker, because he has to get up in the mess and sometimes rush in there, knock linemen down, different stuff like that. So Brett's not just some free safety, some skinny little guy in the background that just knocks down passes. He's a guy that attacks those pulling guards. So Brett, glad to have you on the
team. Yeah, hey, Coach, you might not be able to see the broken nose from all those full speed collisions.
But they happen, don't they, buddy? They do happen. Hey, listen, I just saw Clay just put a note in. Don't forget his Kindred Kingdom Conference. Folks, this is a summer event. Listen, August seems like it's forever away. I don't even know if we're still going to be alive in August. But if you're planning a vacation this summer, that would be a good place to do. Come and fellowship with us. It's a campground. It's up in the mountains. It's a resort. And we're going to be doing a huddle there. So that's August 20th through the 23rd. Just mark that down on your calendar and check it out. And don't come with us on your summer vacation. Come and join us. Clay, we'll push that more and more as we go here. Let's see. Michelle Estes, let's go to her and then Kevin. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you good.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know that Chad and I were talking last night about our April 9th event. And if you guys want to come, but money is a struggle, contact Chad and talk to him about it. We've had donations come in already. We'll make it happen. Don't let that stop you from coming into the training. You know, God's Amen. Given him a purpose to train his people, and he can't train you if you're not here. So if you want to come to the April 9th event, holler out to Chad on an email and let him know your situation, and we'll make it happen.
Michelle, thank you. In fact, guys and girls, anybody who follows our finances here know that freely we give, freely we receive, freely we give. And so we try to never turn anybody away for financial reasons. We don't have a bunch of employees. It's me. I throw some money every once in a while, every month to Gary Pierce, who's doing work behind the scenes. That's basically it. We're not spending a bunch of money on salaries and padded pews and all that kind of stuff. The money we get, we try to put exactly into what we're doing. We don't want anybody not to be able to come because they can't afford it. But at the same time, if you can afford it, it helps us bring more people. Get it? Come on, you guys get it. You get what we're talking about here. So Chad wants to do the training. There's money associated with doing it. And he has to charge to cover his expenses. But if you can't come up with the money and you want to come anyway, we'll figure out a way for you to get there. That's what Michelle's saying, and that's where we are. Thanks, Michelle. Come on in, Kevin.
Hey, Coach. I might have missed it. Did you announce how can we stream Russ Dizdar's event this weekend?
It's not this weekend, Kevin.
Okay.
We're doing an event in Pennsylvania this weekend, so no stream or anything going on. We will be streaming Russ Dizdar's event, but that's not till the 23rd and 24th of April.
And will that be on your site?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. We'll stream that thing for sure. Thanks, man. Let's see who I got here. I got Larry. Larry next.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that now that we're a few months into Gail's journey in this leukemia thing, things are beginning to settle into more of a routine, and we know what we're kind of expecting a couple of 3 weeks in the future most of the time. And my food trailer is still available. I do plan on coming in June if y'all would like me up there to prepare some of those meals and stuff. Just let me know. And like the Tennessee one, that's not that far away. I could probably haul that thing to Tennessee if y'all could use those services there.
Larry, more than anything, we want your fellowship, man. And we want you to be plugged in and know that what you do is important and valuable to us. So whatever you can work around your schedule. By the way, that prompted me on Mike Blake. Hey, listen, folks, please go into war for Mike Blake. Just go to war for Mike Blake. Well, I can't talk to him directly. I would go visit him. I'm not allowed in the hospital. I get information back and forth from his wife, Bonnie. And he was having surgery yesterday to put in two tubes into his lungs because they're just not draining. It's some type of bacteria. They don't know where he picked it up. They don't know what's going on. But let's go to war for Mike. You guys all promise me that you'll continue to really, really hold him up because he's, man, I'm telling you, he's in for a struggle. She told me that he has, in the last 4 days, has picked up 20 pounds of water weight that his kidneys aren't processing. 20 pounds of water weight. So that's why they're trying to get those tubes in there, get his kidneys up functioning. And he's in a war, man. He's in a war. So please, if you will today, maybe some of you fast today, pray that that Mike can get a breakthrough and we get him out of the hospital. Come on in, Tim and Naomi, and then Randy.
Just to give people a little bit of encouragement, we've decided for the Tennessee event, we're spending our anniversary with our brothers and sisters in the huddle.
There you go, huh? In a beautiful place too, right? Folks, can I tell you the truth? This will sound awful, but it's honest. I got better things to do than go to Pennsylvania this weekend, okay? Now, I don't mean it to sound that way. But for anybody out there who thinks I'm pulling some type of scam, I'm not. This is our ministry, right? This is our ministry to try to equip the saints, to build, equip, mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. And Bobby Lee's putting it on, and Michelle and I are going to get in the car. I think she's coming with me. It's 6 hours for me. I'm going to drive out there 6 hours and do our thing and have a great time. And I got to drive 6 hours home, and I get home, it'll be Monday morning before I know it. So this is about building up and edifying you and putting people around you. And you'll get to hear David Arthur, and you'll get to hear John Diamond. I don't want to feel like I'm apologizing for what we're doing. We're doing a lot of stuff. We're just not doing it behind the four walls of a church. Come on in, Randy, then Joe Allen.
Coach, you know, I tell you what, I appreciate you as much as anything, is you never beg for money, Coach, but we got to have money to make it. We all need it. Okay, so I'm going to appeal to everyone right here. I'm not, you don't want to do it, and I understand that, Coach, but listen, everyone listening should be invested into this ministry, to this fellowship, to this assembly, to this everything that we're partaking of. If you're taking out of this, you should be putting into it. You should be giving monthly. Listen, remember Fred, give us all the laws, Coach.
Yes,
we have,
yes.
I mean, one of those laws is giving and receiving. I'm not a big guy into tithing, okay? But I do believe in giving and receiving. And when you can't outgive God, you people, listen, I give because that's my heart. I want to invest in all these ministries, Bobby, Larry, all you guys. But Coach, I invest in yours monthly because I sit in here 5 days a week, and I get and I receive, and I'm equipped, and that is worth more than I can give, everything I can give, Coach. So listen, I appeal to everyone. You get serious about giving because God blesses a cheerful giver.
It's a law, Fred says, right? And so again, folks.
So, Coach, that's my appeal, and I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Randy. And so, I don't even want to talk about money anymore. Come on in, Joe Allen. How you doing this morning, Joseph?
Morning. I got two questions, Coach.
Uh-huh.
First question: is there any hotel areas in that area for Russ Dizdar? Yes.
Oh yeah. Joseph, that's been one of the things that we've been trying to find a good location, trying to get the best location where people didn't have to drive real far to get to a hotel. So yes, we've found those. Yes.
You going to make that known?
Yes. But see, okay. we're firming up the, we had to firm up the site so we could figure out where the hotels are going to be. Understand? We were looking about. Yeah. So yeah, we'll hopefully have all that up by Monday.
Second question: Have you thought anything about doing a pole barn with that where the tractor sitting that tore down place?
I think about it every day.
This is going to get even worse about finding places to do seminars or anything like that. Pole barn would be great, right?
It would be great. So maybe somebody in here in this queue could take up that project of raising. I don't know what the pole barn's going to cost, $15,000, $20,000. I don't know what it would cost, but you're exactly right, Joseph. We shouldn't have to go out and rent a place, right? We shouldn't have to do that. We ought to be able to bring people in and gather and open it up. So good thought there, Joseph. Good thought. I don't know why we're talking about all this stuff, but when we got Sky High, and I've told you guys this all the time, I still don't know why. And I believe at some point it's going to be a place of refuge. I believe it to the depth of my bones that it's going to be for people who are in need to flee to. And so it's a process as we make this whole thing happen. So appreciate it, Joe. Appreciate you saying that. Anybody else want to jump in here before I get into something else? I don't see any hands up. No? Yes? Cool. What did I forget? Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know about you guys. I left after the yesterday's show was over. I walked away from yesterday's show and I thought, man, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, aren't they? There's so much stuff that we have just lost in the weeds as far as enumerated rights and what the right of the presidency is and the Supreme Courts and the courts in general, and the federal courts and local courts and what our elected officials are supposed to do. What is a law and what isn't a law? Oh my goodness. So I was up this morning. And I thought, you know, there's a word that we are really, really struggling with, and that is this word called religion. Religion. And so I want to make sure, do the first one, Spencer. Religions of the world. This blew me away, folks. This blew me away. Do you have any idea how many religions? This is a website I found at CIA, believe it or not, CIA.gov. And it gives you a list of the religions of the world. Now, stop a minute. Can somebody out there who's really smart, there's exactly 100 of us in here today, who could raise their hand right now and explain, define for me religion? Could anybody do that? Religion. Go ahead, Ms. Rochelle got her hand up. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Religion is the return to bondage.
I hadn't thought that one, but that's a good one, return to bondage. Tony, what do you say?
It's man's interpretation of God.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
I think instead of a definition, most of us could describe what our impression of our relationship or religion is. But as far as a definition of religion, you got me stumped, Coach.
Okay. I got
a better idea.
Okay, Tony.
It's a deception to keep us from having unity.
That's true as well. But I would bet that, boy, the hands are going up now. Go ahead.
It's idolatry.
Coach. Go ahead, Jim.
A simple definition is a practice or belief. Even atheists have a religion.
Oh, that's where I wanted to go, Jim. That's where I wanted to go, right?
Okay, slam dunk.
Slam dunk, brother. Slam dunk, because most of us, when we hear the word religion, how many of you think of your denomination? Sure you do. You can be honest. You can raise your hand and say, oh, yeah. How many of you think simply of church beliefs, religion, church beliefs, right? And so we're all stuck in this idea of religion being only Christianity, right? Go real quickly, Spencer. It says definition of religion. Because Jim kind of hit it, and Tony kind of hit it, and Rochelle kind of hit it. Everybody kind of hit it. But religion is defined as, give him a second, he'll get it up there. Come on in, Jeff, climb while we're waiting.
While he's going there, the evolution taught in the schools is a religion.
It's yes. That's where I'm heading. You guys are tracking good this morning. Good boys and girls out there. Go ahead, Jeff. What is it, Jeff? Jeff Nell. I'm sorry.
It is a man's thoughts. That's philosophy. Their thoughts turn into vain teaching. A man's traditions, aromas of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians 2, verse 8.
Okay. So here is some definitions of religion. I found this today. Religion is the belief in spiritual beings. By religion, then, I understand a propitiation or conciliation of powers superior to man, which are believed to direct and control the course of nature and of human life. Think about the Wiccanism, all this kind of stuff. Religion is the feelings, acts, and experience of individual men in their solitude, so far as they apprehend themselves to stand in relation to whatever they may consider the divine. Right? It's making sense, isn't it? A religion is a unified system of beliefs and practices relative to sacred things. That is to say, things set apart and forbidden, beliefs and practices which unite into one single moral community called a church and all those who adhere to them. The self-validation of a society by means of both myth and ritual. Interesting. Religion is a state of being grasped by an ultimate concern, a concern which qualifies all other concerns as preliminary, and a concern that in itself provides the answer to the question of the meaning of our existence. Good, that's Paul Tillich. He was an atheist, I believe. Religion is a system of symbols which acts to establish powerful, persuasive, and long-lasting moods and motivations by formulating conceptions of a general order or existence and clothing these conceptions with such an aura of factuality that the moods and motivations seem uniquely realistic. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Religion, like culture, is a symbolic transformation of experience. Religion is a system of symbols, creeds, codes, cults, by means of which a people, a community, orient themselves in the world with reference to both ordinary and extraordinary powers, meaning, and values. Number 9, religion is a means to ultimate transformation. And number 10, religion is a means, religion is a means of ultimate transformation and or orientation. Joseph Adler, obviously Catholic. Okay, we don't. That's good enough. So we get the idea that when we are talking about here's where I'm going. Big picture. Here's where I'm going. I want you to see and wake up and understand this, that the cultural left, whatever that we want to call them, they are the most religious people in the world. The pagans and all the atheists, oh, their religion is non-God. Non-God is their religion. And here's what we've seen happen, or seeing happen in America, is they are imposing their religious beliefs on us, telling us that our religious beliefs aren't welcome because there's a separation between the church and state. But every one of you watching right now know there is a religion of the American government. What's the religion of the American government? Does anybody know? What's the religion? Go ahead.
Politics.
I'm sorry?
Politics.
Politics is the religion. What were you going to say, Rochelle?
Power and money.
We still are a Christian nation. I'm standing by that.
Well, I'm going to unpack that for you here, though. David's been hanging on a second. Come on in, David.
You know, I just wanted to say, Coach, transgenderism is a religion.
Yes!
That is why it was able to be stopped at some libraries, because they said that you cannot have religious events in government-funded buildings. Mm-hmm. Well, transgenderism is by definition a religion.
Transgenderism is a definition. Reggie, come on in. This is good, man. Make you guys think. Come on,
good morning, everybody. Hey, I want to tell you something. I know I always come back to it because I know, and I've known for 30 years. So the religion, the current government is the religion is humanism. It's man. It's not God-centered. Yes! It's man-centered, which is Luciferianism.
Reggie's reading my notes. We'll come back to that, right? So when they tell us there's a separation between the church and state, which church? What church are they talking about? Because there certainly isn't a separation between humanism and state. There certainly isn't a separation between atheism and state. There certainly isn't a separation between, as Randy said, politics and state, is there? So it's, it comes back to that cancel culture where they've all ganged up, in my opinion, on the one true religion. That would be the religion of Jesus Christ. And they're all saying, no, not that. You can bring in Hinduism. You can bring in Buddhism. You can bring in Islam. You can welcome all these other religions. But as soon as you try to mention that C word, oh, you mentioned that C word. That's how I know it's real. That's how I know Christianity is real. Come on in. Come on in, Tony.
All right. All your isms are religion. Your
isms, yes, sir.
Yes, communism, socialism.
Humanism, socialism, yes, transhumanism. Yes. All, they're all yes, religion.
Your, and your Black Lives Matter, they push religion of the skin. Mm-hmm. They worship the color of their skin. That's their whole life. And mm-hmm. and the backers are into African religions.
They're promoting, hey, listen, Tony, they're promoting their religion at the expense yes. of our religion, right? They right. say, not your religion, our religion. I'm moving fast. Got a lot of people want to get in. Come on in, Kevin, then Randy.
Okay, well, first off, amen to what you said about, you know, the fact that Christianity ends up being the target, and that backs up the fact that Christianity is true.
Right.
If it wasn't, it wouldn't be the target. But this subject touches on something that Dr. Frank Turek talks about quite a bit when it comes to religion and politics. And he always mentions how, you know, the atheists, the other side always says, oh, but you can't legislate morality. Mm-hmm. Oh, but yes, you do, because all legislation hovers around morality. But the question is, whose morality?
There you go. And the Christians, see, Christians, because they've dumbed down our education system, right? Christians now believe separation of church and state means separation of morality in state. Morality yeah. in state, right? And I got a lot of places to go. Go ahead, Randy, then Jack.
Yeah, Coach, you probably go on this direction. I may be on a different page. You can tell me so. But I see the remedy for this, for the church, if they want to get back into the fight, is to take their 501(c)(3) and throw it in the trash. That's mm-hmm. a remedy. Then they're not in there. They don't have an identity, and they're just like the rest of the isms, if you want to put it that way. And now they'll have a voice again.
I agree with that, Randy, because it is a loyalty to a different entity for sure. Right. It is for sure. Come on in, Jeff Klein. Come on, Jeff.
Coach, just real quick, what's happened this week? And like Randy just said, the people, but the craziness of this whole week, Sunday morning, we had that 20-year celebration. Believe it or not, you know how skimpy our church has been since that whole foxhole ministry and the people that left. That place was full, and they had to bring in more chairs. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And then we'd go all day to the courthouse, witness to the attorneys and people in that courthouse over there. It was a great day. As I'm over there, I leave the key to David Arthur. I said, David, I don't know if we're going to make it back. David has a key to the car lot. He unlocks the building, and this time he has 45 people in there. They had a full house in there, crazy, and new people coming. Last night, the church pastor built a great teaching last night, setting the people up. And we had a lot of people there last night, way more than normal. But he did some, used some scripture, and then talked about how as Christians we're going to receive Tom and Tina this Sunday. And they didn't know anything about them coming, what the settlement was. They were blown away. I mean, it's just been a week of absolute craziness here in Mount Vernon in the Knox County area.
Well, good. So let me connect the dot here. I'm going to get Rochelle in there and David Arthur again. Here's the dot I'm trying to connect. I don't know if you guys have connected it yet. See, we can once again, all politics are local. We can once again begin to exert our authority locally through the churches if the churches will simply stand up and do it. It's how we got started. I'm going to show you that here in a second, right? All politics is local. All laws are local. Ultimately, everything is local. We got to get our mind off of Donald Trump and off of Washington, D.C. and off of all that stuff. And let's just begin to work really, really hard on what we've been calling, Matt Tuella calls these sanctuary cities, the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. We are the power. Come on in, David, then Rochelle.
You know, Coach, I don't know if you remember when I went down, I was living in Maryland, I went down to North Carolina. I stopped and I met this man. He was a trucker now. He used to be in a rock band. He traveled all over the world. He had babies all over the world that he wanted nothing to do with all of his life. And you know what he told me? He says he sat back because his truck slid on ice and he should have went in the water and he didn't. He knew it was the hand of God. And he says he had to sit back and think, who is the only one true God? He says, well, it wasn't hard to figure out. It was the only one that they wanted to make illegal. He's like, the only one that they ousted had to be one true living God. And there is only one that they oust.
That's right. They all gang up against him, don't they? They all gang up against him. Come on in, Rochelle. Good point, Dave.
Good point there, David. I wanted to add another ism, scientism. It's not real science. They are controlling us all with scientism, with the mask, with the global warming. You name the issue, it's all scientism.
It's all
the color of science.
The color of science. Hey, Spencer, go back to that one you had, the religions of the world, because I just want to run down through this real quick. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I want you guys to see them. Baha'i, Buddhism, keep scrolling down through there. These are all different religions. Christianity, Hinduism, Islam. These are kind of the common ones. Judaism, Shintoism. This is a neat thing to look at. Taoism, Zoroastrianism, traditional beliefs, animism, Bedima, Kerant, pagan, shamanism, spiritualism. This list goes on and on and on and on and on of the religions of the world. It gives you the countries and what the religion is. Well, let's go to United States. Let's go down to United States and see what we have here in the United States of America. Clear on down, man. You go way down at the bottom. It's alphabetical. Clear down to the U. There you go, buddy. What's the religious makeup of the United States of America? There's UK. There's United States. Why, it's 46.5% Protestant, 20.8%. So we add those two numbers together. We're about 68% mainline, but, well, Christianity, 68%. 2% of Jews, so that gives us to 70%, that Judeo-Christian thing. Mormonism's another one run. Look, Muslims, not even 1%. Jehovah's Witnesses, not even 1%. Buddhism, not even 0.75%. Hindu, 7.7%. Others, all the others, 0.18%. What? Folks, how are we losing this battle? How has the minority come in and totally captured our nation and taken us away from our Christian founding, which I'm going to prove that to you here in just a second as well, right? So it's the cancel culture, the ultimate cancel culture, doing what? Canceling Christianity. You with me? Are you all paddling in the same direction as me this morning so that we understand exactly what's going on? So let's go to the state constitutions. Click on that one, state constitutions, because remember the Mayflower Compact, right, for the advancement of the Christian faith. When they came over, they all signed it, and then they went out and they formed 13 original colonies. And most of you don't know, I'm going to show you right now. Did you guys know that the 13 original colonies were established as congregations? That's how they, I'll show you that here in a second. But look at this. Look at the reference to God in each. Folks, we're coming back to the state. All politics are local, right? Come back to the state. See, the Supreme Court said that we can't have these state constitutions. Every one of them, all 50 of them, I'm not going to run down through it. All of them acknowledge Almighty God. There's Alabama, Almighty God. Just a little bit slower, brother, if you could for me. Say right there, that's okay. Colorado, supreme ruler of the universe. Connecticut, providence of God. Delaware, divine goodness, their creator. Florida, Almighty God. Georgia, Almighty God. Hawaii, divine guidance. Idaho, Almighty. This is in their constitutions, folks. I thought there was a separation between the church and state. And see, there is a separation between the church and the state, meaning We're not going to let the Baptists be in charge of everything. We're not going to let them. We're not going to let what are those people called, Presbyterians, be in charge of everything. That's what they were calling state. But never, ever, 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 ever was there any insinuation that Christianity wasn't at the heart of the American experience. All 50 of the original states acknowledge God. Which God? Which God? They acknowledge God in their constitutions, right? Now, hang on. I see some of you want to get in there. I want to let you in, but I got to show you one more here. Religion in the colonies. Click on that, Spencer. Religion in the colonies. It's amazing. Did you guys know this? 13 original colonies. Scroll down, Spence. Here are your 13 original colonies. Virginia. What's the official religion of Virginia? The Anglican Church, the official religion of Virginia. So when Thomas Jefferson was talking about separation between the church and the state, they were talking about which denomination was going to be in control of the federal government. And the founders said, no, there's a separation between the church and the state, meaning there would be no one denomination of Christianity over America. Not that there wouldn't be Christianity over America, because that was clearly agreed to by every one of them, right? So there we are, Virginia, first charter of Virginia, Anglican Church. What's the next one? Scroll on down, Spence. Let's go down there. New York. Well, what was New York? Why, they were Anglican. Wow. Official religion. The official religion, 1614. Go on down. Number three, Massachusetts. Well, they were the Congregational Church. When? 1629. That's when they signed it. Well, what's the next one say? Delaware? Why, they didn't have one. Delaware didn't have a formal religion. You just had to be Christian. If you read it, Christianity didn't care what denomination was. They're a bunch of mutts they stuck together in Delaware. Go to the next one. Maryland, what was it? Why, Anglican. Wow, no kidding. Official religion, it says. And Connecticut, Congregational. Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. New Hampshire, Congregational. Kevin, you guys need some help up there. Rhode Island, none. You could be anything. When you came there, you didn't have to be a Congregationalist. Georgia, they didn't have any either. They said, man, we accept all Christian religions, right? All Christian religions. North Carolina, Anglican. Wow. Because why? They came from England. They were all Anglicans in England. In England, the king was the head of the church, right? So all of England was Anglican, or Church of England. South Carolina, Church of England, official church of the state. Pennsylvania, none. But they became Quakers, didn't they? The Quakers get in over there in Pennsylvania. New Jersey, the official religion, none. But they all, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when they said there was a separation between the church and the state, you notice they didn't say feds, right? You guys notice that? Didn't say separation between the church and the federal government. Separation between the church and the state, because religion was a state issue. Now, meaning this, in Ohio, if we were to look at our charter, it means you didn't have to be a Christian, but Christianity was the standard by which all of our laws were based. Come on, folks. You see what they've done to us? All of our laws were Christ-based, and every one of the original colonies and every one of the 50 states was based on some precept or concept of Christianity, and all of the laws of the state were based on the Magna Carta, the Northwest Ordinance, the Declaration of Independence. They were all based on Christianity. And in 1947, the Supreme Court says, sorry, ain't no more religion and church connected. And boom, there we've gone. Oh, my goodness. Who? David Arthur's up, then Rochelle. Hey, do this. Give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, this is good. I didn't know this stuff. I need to know this stuff. Go ahead, Rochelle. Can't hear you.
Okay. Okay. I was just thinking of the video you showed yesterday of the young lady outside the abortion clinic.
Right.
And you asked a question about how has our Christianity been hijacked? And so if you look at that young lady, she obviously believed in God. The argument was about, okay, did God say that you can't abort a glob of tissue? So the devil has gotten in to the ears and flipped our religion on its head.
Right.
Because and it's all based on that scientism
There you go. So what they did is they came in and said, since there's no religion, since there's a separation between the church and state, we're going to throw out all morality. Do as thy will. That has become the morality of the American government. The American government's Magna Carta, if you will, the American government's religion has become the Constitution, which, by the way, is changeable, breathable, right? You with me? You see what they've done to us? And so the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? And here we are out in states, 70%, nearly 70% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian, and atheists and secular humanists are making all the rules for us. Come on in, Jack. Followed by Joseph Allen. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, Coach, we've been instructed and trained to believe that the intellectuals are the ones that can interpret all this for us. And these are the people that can't make a distinction between the three kinds of make. It's like there, and there, and make.
Yeah.
We are being instructed as to what our religion is. A religion is by definition mine. Religion is by definition simply a belief system. And we're being taught by people who can't make a distinction between make.
No, that's right. And they want to make their own religious systems and have us follow through humanism. Kevin Van Story's got his hand in the air there, I think. Do you, Kevin? Or are you just waving hi to me?
Yes, sir, I did. I don't have a hand, so I have to actually raise my hand. But
Kevin, are you using George's phone? Kevin, you must be using George's phone. Get to better spots so we can hear you. Go ahead, Joe Allen.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people are aware of this, but there's Agenda 21 and Agenda 30. And under their glossary there, who they would notify when they want to implement this stuff with FEMA is clergy staff, the head clergy. Mm-hmm. So this 501c3 puts them into that. So if we have to implement some kind of
I agree with it, Joe, but in my opinion, that 501c3 is null and void. It's absolutely meaningless. It's being kept only by one side. All the rules and regulations.
Well, that,
in my mind, it's null and void, really.
That's how the government can activate it.
Yeah, it is, Joseph, but I'm telling you, people who have 501c3s keep their mouths shut because they think the government is above God. It doesn't have anything to do with their contract with the 501c3. They're just stupid enough to think that the government regulates the church. So if there is a separation between the church and state, somebody help me out here. If the church is not allowed to influence the government, what the hell is the government doing influencing the church? They have no right to be able to do it in any way, shape, or form. I don't care how many 501c3s you have signed. They are all null and void, in my opinion. Now, if you go into a court of law, is the court of law going to agree? Well, of course not, because they're on the other team. They play for the government, right? The courts play for the government, and they're going to say to the church, that's null. No, you can't do that. Why? Well, we have our rules here. Yeah, but I have church rules here. Yeah, but there's a separation between. And so since we're in charge, you're going to follow our – That's what I think is going on, right? That's what I think is going on. And as a result, the church has shut its mouth, and we're in the mess that we're in because of that. Whose turn is it here? Let's see. Reggie, get Reggie, and then Rochelle, then Jeff.
Andy's back here.
Coach, going back, you said something about lack of knowledge, right? So I don't know if anybody's aware of this. If you are, you can stop me. But I read it when it came out. But there was the 1776 report that was put out by the Trump Commission for the 1776 commission that was established by the Trump administration in 2020. And his goal was to end a radicalized view of American history, which vilified the United States founders and its founding. Well, the first one of the first executive orders that Biden had signed was to terminate it. And that was on January 20th, 2021. And they were stating that it was not historical. It was not accurate.
Mm.
So it's really interesting. If you guys want to know some things that you've never heard, you read that. Yeah. It's still out there and it's still available.
Thanks, Reggie. Let me get Kevin back in here. Come on, Kevin. Are you there, buddy? Did I close you out? Daggone it.
Hey, you caught me. You caught me off. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you.
Okay. All right. What I was saying, and actually I have a stone house, so my signal doesn't work very good in here. What I was saying was that the church has had three or four decades of preachers teaching everybody that we're supposed to be the cowards of the county, like Kenny Rogers sang back in the 80s. And that's what we've done. That across this country. That's why we're 73% of this country is Christian, and less than 1% of us will stand up and do anything or try to make any racket. But yesterday, I spent an hour and a half with my three county commissioners. And of course, our county commissioners set aside Dayton County as a Second Amendment sanctuary county. In the process of my conversations with them yesterday, we are about to be a life sanctuary county.
Awesome, Kevin. Awesome.
Meaning that this county will not sacrifice our innocence.
Amen. Ever. Amen. Amen. And dare the feds to come in and do something about it, right? Dare the folks, do you understand we are being governed by a minority? Do you understand that? That they have come in and they have flipped our Constitution. They flipped it all upside down and they've made it a religious. And so a minority of Americans are ruling us from an amoral, a religious position. And we're falling in line like little ducks. It's crazy, man. Crazy. Who do I have here? Let's go to, God, I got a lot of Jeff Klein. Come on, Jeff.
Coach, maybe we ought to ride Trump's coattails a little bit. The old J.R. Harrison bumper stickers, make the church great again.
Make the church great again. Rick
has this on his truck right now, but we ought to get putting them back out.
How about these? Legalize Jesus. Legalize Jesus. Come on in, Rochelle. Legalize Jesus.
I was trying to look it up, but I can't find it right now at my fingertips. But I do remember comparing when, you know, the French people, they had their own revolution. When we had our revolution, it was very different. But along those lines, when they wrote up their constitutions or whatever I should call it, that all of their rights came from the state. Like you could read their, like ours came from God. We had
Magna Carta.
Yeah, right. Was given to us by God. All of theirs was given to them by the state.
That's right.
So that's what they are trying to do here, make everybody believe that our rights come from the state, just like, you know, everybody else's constitution.
We're teaching it in the churches, right? We're teaching it in our churches that the rights come from the state. Larry, jump in. Then Randy.
Yeah, I remembered something from the South Carolina Constitution, so I looked it up and found something else interesting, too. But the governor of South Carolina, no person shall be eligible to the office of governor who denies the existence of the supreme being.
Isn't that something?
An atheist can't be governor of South Carolina. But when I was going through looking for that, I found out that South Carolina has in its constitution a provision that in order to vote in South Carolina, you have to be able to read and write the English language.
Isn't that something, folks? Huh? Isn't that something? So you see why this federal beast has usurped all this power, right? The individual states, 9th and 10th Amendment. That's where all the power is. We gotta come back to that. Man, they're lining up here. Let me see. Jack, Glenn hadn't been in here yet. Come on in, Glenn.
Hey, Coach, it reminds me, also, we're being ruled by a fenced-in capital. Kind of reminds me of the Hunger Games.
Yes, sir. A fenced-in capital. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Not supposed to be that way. Let's go Randy and then Jack.
Coach, everyone has what they're saying is so true. But, Coach, we can keep seeing the problem, but until we do like Kevin Van Story and go get in this county fight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And stand up and be the voice, the standard, and get a group to do this and take back at the local level. It all has to come back to this, Coach. This is the power of this whole movement. It's at the local level. And there's until we do that, get in the fight, it's just talk. So yes. We got to just seeing the problem and be the answer, be the solution.
And do you know that the average American, even if they're Democrats, do you know the average American probably agrees with God and country? They probably do. They've just been deceived by how the whole power structure is set up and how we're supposed to respond to it. I know many, many God-fearing Democrats, why they would vote for Joe Biden, I don't know, other than they don't understand. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Not that the Republicans are the end-all, tell-all, but we get it, right? That there's still, at least in the Republicans, some idea of God, family, and country. We still have that at least to fall back on. Man, oh man, everybody wants to get in. Whose turn it is? Larry's turn, then Jack's turn.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on what Randy said. Yeah, that local stuff is the key. That is the key. And Coach has been saying that for a long time now. Amen. And I've been saying for a long time, coordinating and unifying the local efforts across the country makes the key bigger.
Larry, we have our churches to do it with. If our churches would just get involved, we're already connected, are we not? Come on in, Jack.
Well, part of that deception, this didn't start last week, guys. The Tavistock event was when they attacked directly the churches, the seminary cemeteries, and the universities, because they knew they had to destroy that before they could destroy the people and bring the people into total submission. But that started back with our favorite amendment. See, after the 10th Amendment, things started to go downhill. The 14th Amendment made us all citizens by permission rather than under God.
And created the idea of individual rights, Jack.
Yes.
Because, see, your individual rights, folks, were already protected. They were already, they were unalienable. They were already protected. We didn't need the 14th Amendment to grant rights that you already had. And then they used the 14th Amendment to dive into individual rights, and that's when our court system went bonkers.
Well, they separated us.
Yes.
The 14th Amendment made us all equal under slavery.
It did. That's exactly what it was, man. Exactly. Who do I get in here next? Let's go to Glenn and then Jeff Nell. Glenn, go. Or did you not take your hand down? Jeff Nell.
Sorry, Coach.
Go. Okay. That's all right. Jeff Nell, go.
Yeah, so refer to Alan Hale, a Freemason, I think back in the 1700s, quite if I'm wrong, he predicted World War I, World War II, expected World War III, and under World War III is to eliminate Christianity. People are following the ideology and are following through with it.
I'm predicting revival. Write that down somewhere. Somebody put that in a book that on the 12th day of March 2021, Coach Dave predicted revival. I predicted revival. Let the history books show it. Come on in, John Diamond.
Hey, Coach. Good to see you this morning. Hey, I got two meetings here, so I'm on the road, and then I'm going to be heading that way. I just wanted to share with your whole group there that the Faith and Freedom Coalition of Pennsylvania just advertised our event. So I sent you and Bobby Lee the email, but that's a pretty great organization, and they're promoting it for us. So if you see people out there you don't know, man, we need to start growing these huddles even bigger.
Yeah, folks, John, I'm with you, man. Joe Allen, come on in. Look forward to seeing you, John. Fast paced here this morning.
I'm sorry, Coach, I didn't take my hand down.
Okay, the bathroom's right down to
the
left.
What's going on, brother?
So, John, you're still yelling at everybody here, buddy. Unless you're
Zoom call and
all right. Somebody mute John. I don't know if he knows he's talking to us. So just got a couple minutes left here. What other thing? Go to Jefferson's letter real quick. Jefferson's letter. Separation between the church and state. I've given you a lot of stuff here today, folks. A lot of good stuff here today.
Coach, while you're going there.
Yeah.
Pastor Bill made a comment yesterday that Kyle, his son, he said this the other day. He said, you know, Dad, he said, I'm starting to figure out what's going on with you guys up in that church in the garage. He said, we used to just always bring in Christians to our church. He said, now we're bringing in Christians and non-Christians. We're bringing in some people I never thought would be coming in here. This is crazy, he said.
Yeah. It's time. So this is Jefferson. This is a segment of Jefferson's letter, okay, folks? The letter, the law that separates between the church and state. This was the genesis of it. Jefferson says, gentlemen, the affectionate sentiments of esteem and appropriation which you are so good as to express towards me on behalf of the Danbury Baptist Association give me the highest satisfaction, my duties, yada, yada, yada. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declare that their legislature should make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between the church and the state. He's keeping the church, I'm sorry, keeping the government out of the church. Adhering to this expression of the supreme will of the nation on behalf of the rights of the conscience, I shall see with sincere satisfaction the progress of those sentiments which tend to restore to man all his natural rights, convinced he has no natural right in opposition to his social duties. I reciprocate your kind prayers for protection and blessing of the common father and creator of man, and tender for you, yourselves, and your religious associations assurance of my highest respect and esteem. Thomas Jefferson said that the government has no business interfering in any way, shape, or form with the individual religious beliefs of the average American citizen. That's what the wall of separation between the church and state was all about. It was never, ever to get religion, Christianity, out of government. Come on in real quick, Joe Silver.
Boom. This is going to be hard, Coach. I'll be real quick. I got this word yesterday afternoon, and it's hard to read it. Focus on the return of my son and not the state of your union. Your nation is over. But my people are not, as they have much to do. Celebrate Passover this year and what it meant and what it means. Just do it.
Boom.
See you in Pennsylvania. God bless you.